You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, and this is the Play Therapy Podcast. In today's episode, we are talking through another principle, and it is specifically related to the choice-giving skill. So we did that in the last episode, and we have one more after this. So we're trying to make sure that as we work through these principles, they tie to the skill, because I believe wholeheartedly that if you just use the principles, you miss out on the benefit. And if you just use the skill, you miss out on the benefit. It all works in conjunction with everything else. So it's kind of big picture and then smaller picture woven together. So today, the principle that we're going to talk through is one of the best things that you can communicate to a child is that they are competent. Tell the child they are capable and they will think they are capable. If you tell the child enough times that they can't do something, sure enough, they can't. So let's kind of talk through some of those specific details and unpack that a little bit, because that's rich with a lot of good stuff. So first of all, let's start with the first part. One of the best things you can communicate to a child is that they are competent. And I want to pause there because I have kind of coined this. I don't think I came up with it, but I use this a lot when I talk to parents and when I train therapists at the center. The principle of the competence spectrum, or loop, if you will. So this is a really helpful way to think about the way children view themselves and how these two things will be parallel tracks that are constantly building and helping children to have a much healthier view of who they are. So if you think about this, as your feelings of competence increase, so do your feelings of confidence. Because as you feel that you can handle things, as you feel that you are capable, as you feel that you have the problem solving and the wherewithal to address things that happen, you will naturally feel more confident in your abilities. But the converse is also true. So as you feel more confident, you will naturally be more competent. So the competence-confidence spectrum, or loop, is a very powerful thing to keep in mind when we are considering the choice-giving skill and even the encouragement skill, because they both work on a child's sense of self. And so when we're thinking in terms of communicating to kids that they are competent, that naturally lends itself toward confidence building. So it's really important to keep in mind that when we are giving choices in a playroom, when we are communicating to a child that they are competent, we are essentially saying, you have the autonomy, you have the freedom, I trust you, I believe in you, and you are competent. So when we provide children with freedom in the playroom, when we give them the autonomy to make choices and to try and fail and to struggle and to express their emotions and all of the things that happen in a playroom, we are naturally communicating to the child, we believe in their competence. I believe in your ability to self-regulate. I believe in your ability to figure that out. I believe in your ability to think more positively about yourself. I believe in your ability to control your emotions. I believe in your ability to work on that and not give up and figure it out. So there's all of these underlying unspoken messages just by the dynamic that's created in a child-centered non-directive playroom. Because when we give the child the time, the tools, and the opportunity to work on their stuff, we're essentially saying, I know that you can handle this. So there's kind of an undercurrent of competence and a belief in their competence right out of the gate. However, when we provide choices to children, you know, in here, you get to choose what that's for. I wonder if you can choose to use something else to get that down off of the top shelf. There are implications that when we give you a choice, we trust you and we know that you can handle it. So that's the first part of that principle. One of the best things we can communicate to a child is that they are competent. Tell a child they're capable and they will think they're capable. If you tell a child enough times that they can't do something, sure enough, they can't. Now, This is kind of big picture, just universality, right? Because if a teacher or a parent or a sibling or a friend or someone is telling a child that they can't do something, they will start to believe it. So here's where we come in. Because, I mean, Lord willing, please don't ever tell a child in the playroom they can't do something, right? That's not our role. So I'm hopeful that all of my listeners would never, ever have any communication in the playroom, verbally or non-verbally, that a child can't do something. But the reality is they hear that and believe that and receive that all day, every day from other sources. So the playroom is the antidote to that. And you'll hear me say that a lot. And I don't really, I don't mean to say that a lot, but I contrast the playroom with the real world all the time. And it's the antidote to so many things in a child's life. That's why the playroom is a magical place. And that's why child-centered non-directive play therapy is magical, because it creates this unique subset of life that doesn't exist anywhere else for a child. So we are the antidote to the praise that a child receives. We are the antidote to the control that a child feels they have none anywhere else in their life. We are the antidote to all of the negativity that a child receives, all of the punishment and consequence. I could go on and on and on. The playroom is always the antidote for all of that. So we're not going to be the ones communicating that a child can't do something, but they've already gotten that ad nauseum everywhere else. So then our job is to communicate to the child, both verbally and non-verbally, that they're capable. I trust you to handle that. I trust you to figure that out. I trust you to control yourself. I trust you to comply with the limit. I trust you to do everything you need to do. And therefore, the implication is that you are, in fact, capable. So the power of this principle is not only are we helping the competence-confidence spectrum, but we're also making sure they know that someone in their life fully believes in them. I trust you, I believe in you, and I know that you can handle this. And you will have kids that come into the playroom in varying degrees of competence, right? So you have the one that comes in and immediately asks you to do it for them. They don't even try. Then you have those that will try half-heartedly or once or twice, and then immediately give up and ask for help. Or you have those that will try half-heartedly once or twice and then blame the toy, the playroom. You know, it's not their fault they can't do it. There's some other issue with why they can't do something. And then over time, they learn, no one's going to rescue me. No one's going to fix this for me. No one's going to answer this for me. No one's going to solve this. So it's up to me. And the process is powerful. When we provide choices and when we provide autonomy, children very quickly learn, I have to try, and no matter what happens, I can do this, even if it takes hundreds of attempts. I had a girl who, week one in the playroom, grabbed a paddle ball and I'm hoping you all know what a paddle ball is, but it's like the little flat plastic thing with the stretchy elastic band, and then there's a ball attached to it. Sorry. Well, there was no longer a string. So you had the paddle and the ball, and they were detached. So she picks up the paddle and the ball and starts hitting the ball with the paddle. Well, it becomes pretty apparent after a few minutes that she's seeing how many times she can hit the ball before it drops. And she did this toward the end of the first session. So I would say she probably had 4 or 5 minutes left. And I think week one, her record was 6 or 7. It was definitely under 10. And this really fascinating thing happened. Every single week when I gave her the 5-minute warning, she started immediately, she would stop what she was doing and she would go grab the paddle and the ball and she would try to break her previous week's record. Now, early on, a record of 6, that's not really that difficult to beat. Well, week after week after week, she hit the 50 mark and then the 75 mark and then the 100 mark and then the 150 mark. And then she was asking me to give her more and more time. So at one point she started saying, will you tell me at the 10-minute warning that I have 10 minutes left instead of 5? Because she needed more time because she was doing so many more hits with the paddle. And the moral of the story is, I often think back to that girl because I think so many times, if anyone would have looked in and seen that for much of every session, all this girl did was hit a ball with a paddle, what therapeutic value does that possibly have? What is she possibly gaining in, you know, the grand scheme of life? What skills and growth and healing is taking place as she's hitting this ball with this paddle? But the reality is, she would fail and she would fail and she would fail and she would drop the ball and she would start over again. And it was this never-ending test of her competence. And the amazing thing is, she would fail, but when she would break a record, it would be a huge surge of confidence for her. And the competence-confidence loop was sealed. And so when we provide this environment and we give choices, you get to decide what you do in here. You get to decide what that's called. You tell me how you're going to do that. What we're doing is giving them the space to prove themselves. Not to anyone else, although many times at the beginning, they do want to prove themselves to you and to everyone else in the world because they don't feel confident or competent. But eventually, the only person they're proving their worth and their value and what they can do is to themselves. So it's a really, really cool process to watch. I love the competence growth. I love watching kids start to feel better about themselves. And you know, when you develop a positive sense of self, and that's confidence and esteem and worth and identity and all of those things, you know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's what that quote talks about, right? If you tell your child enough times they can't do something, sure enough, they can't. So that can be self-fulfilling prophecy to the negative, but it can also be self-fulfilling prophecy to the positive. You help them understand they are capable and they will think that they are, and they will prove that they are. So I hope that encourages you. I hope that you are able to keep that in mind. This is a really important principle as we work with kids in our playrooms. Please reach out to me, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. Please give me questions. As you know, every week I'm answering listener questions. So please email me with things that you'd like me to share my thoughts on, questions that you have, just anything related to the child-centered play therapy world. And if you haven't already, please go to playtherapynow.com. If you are interested in training with me, either in person in Tampa or remotely, please go to playtherapynow.com. You can fill out a form there and I will be in touch with you through that website. So as always, I greatly appreciate you spending some time with me each week. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.